I'm never going to retire. I'm never going to slow down, because if you love what you do, it's not work, it's life.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Apples Health. Have you ever been around someone and when they leave, you feel inspired? You can't wait to see them again, to listen some more, and to learn. Well, we get a chance to do that today, profiling Mr. Mike Rapoli, who's nothing short of a trailblazing game changer. First, as co-founder of Vitamin Water, he changed the beverage industry, creating a whole new category. Chances of doing that, well, that's less than 1%. And then he did it again with Body Armor. Chances of doing it twice, well, that's astronomical. Then he took over brands like Pirate's Booty and now Noble. And the brand ethos of Noble is the kind of person that Mike Rapoli is, helping you and his customers not only reach their physical goals, but also mental and emotional goals as well. And he gives us a playbook of greatness. Why? Well, because he likes to partner with some of the greatest of all times. First with Kobe Bryant and Body Armor. Those stories are touching and inspiring. And then the greatest football player of all time in Tom Brady and Noble. And then with St. John's University, NIL, and Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino, well, we know what happened there. One of the greatest sports stories in recent memory. From humble beginnings from Queens, New York, like yours truly, with his beautiful family by his side, his wife Maria, and his daughter Joya. This has been a special session indeed. Game recognizes Mike Rapoli. Buckle in, kids, because today we're going on a ride. You know I love to profile people at the top of their game, and some of those folks are actually changing the game that they're in. And then there is our guest today, Mike Rapoli, who first takes a sledgehammer to the game and rises to the pinnacle. The brainchild behind Vitamin Water, Smart Water, Body Armor, Pirate's Booty, and now Noble. It is my sincere privilege to introduce my friend, my Queens 718 brother from another mother. Mike, let's go.
Hey, Marty. You doing good?
See you, pal. Yeah, good. Man. Thanks for being here, man.
No, I'm excited to be there.
Listen, Queens, the foundation, that DNA we both have, right? That's the seed. It's got to be the seed.
Growing up in Queens in the 80s and the 90s was a huge advantage. Pre-social media, pre-internet, pre-everything. I mean, we kind of got everything before other states. Obviously, it's a little bit different now, but just growing up in an area where, you know, first generation, my mom was a seamstress, my dad was a waiter, and just growing up with the same childhood friends I have today, 45 years later, and it was a special time to grow up, and so blessed to be from Queens.
And the family, those friends, you've carried that over. That it's almost a mantra of sorts, right? Where the people are so close around you, the relationships, the work ethic, you know. Family and team are going hand in hand throughout your life.
Yeah, I mean, team, friends, and family are all in one group for me. I got a Noble family. I got a Rapoli Stable family. I got my family, my friends, and my family. I mean, when you're in my circle, you're family. And my grandmother was
Nonna.
Nonna helped raise me with my mom and my dad, because my dad and mom both had to work, and Nonna watched me and my brother, who became a New York City police. Gerard became a policeman in Jamaica, Queens. And, it was just a great way to grow up, and loving parents who, you know, gave me unconditional love and gave me a Catholic school education. And, you know, from St. Margaret's to Holy Cross to St. John's.
St. John's. We'll get to that. Yeah. That's a much bigger story. Now, I know you had that work ethic and you started, you know, doing stocking shelves and you fell in love with the beverage industry, you know. How did you make that leap from enjoying the beverage industry and then changing the game?
You know, it's so funny. I mean, at 16, I'd rather play basketball than get a job. So my mom actually got me my first application to Key Food in Forest Hills.
Oh, God.
So she gets me a application. I slowly filled it out. And I got a job there. And, you know, it's so funny. I was a stock boy making $3.35 an hour with that yellow gun that they don't have nowadays.
And I can hear the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Click, 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 click. Yeah.
And it's so funny. There was like 8 aisles in the store. And, you know, if you were in the soup aisle, it was slower. The detergent aisle was slower. And then all of a sudden there was a beverage aisle where people would just buy it, you know, buy Coke and Pepsi by the case. And it just moved really quick. So with my ADHD, I would just love that aisle because there's always action and the day went really fast there. I go to St. John's. I'm majoring in sports management. I wanted to be the GM of the Mets and I wanted to be the head coach of St. John's. I graduated, Marty, and neither called. I'm like, I'm 21 years old. Nobody called.
Have they called?
It's a big mistake. I think looking back, one of them should, the Mets definitely should have called, okay?
100%.
So they didn't call. And then I needed to fall back on something. So everyone said, maybe you should do sales. And I did beverages and I knew it was fast. So I said, beverage sales. And that's how I ended up in this journey.
That's fantastic. You know, every day we come across products where you're thinking to yourself, man, wish I invented that. I remember when I was a kid, you know, white out, liquid paper. I'm like, I wish I invented the post-it note. And everywhere I go about vitamin water, damn, I wish I invented that, right? Got to tell me that story between vitamins, how to get the vitamins in the water.
You know, it's funny because when I was unemployed or retired right after college for about a year and a half.
Finding yourself?
Well, I wanted to be sports management. That was my journey. But, you know, I was actually coaching at Christ the King High School. And at night, I would hang out with my friend Damien, my childhood friend, and we mastered the game of Nintendo, Tecmo Bowl. I was always Christian Nicoya. And late at night, we go to the 24-hour deli on Woody Haven Boulevard. And I always knew what sandwich I wanted. But then when it came to beverages, it was like 9 doors. And I'm like, all right, there's Coke, there's Pepsi, there's Snapple, there's Mystic, there's Arizona Iced Tea. Like, there's all these choices. I spent more time just analyzing what to buy. And I would always try new products. So when I decided I needed to go in sales, I said, let me go to beverages. What I loved was I was fascinated with why people knew what they were going to order, turkey, sub. And then with beverages, they were starting to have choices. You know, when we grew up, it was, you know, Gatorade, Coke, and Pepsi.
That's it.
Nowadays, like, they were so, this was like the start of the new age beverages, clearly Canadian and all these new brands. And I just got infatuated with choices. And it was just a fallback. And I got a job making $22,000 a year from Mystic Beverages. And it led me to meet this guy, Darius Bykoff, who you know. You treated him and his daughter, Ella.
And his family, actually. Yeah. His wife, too. Yeah.
And it's so funny. Darius had this little $100,000 company called Smartwater. And it was $100,000 for all 3 years. And I decided to take a chance. And Darius and I are a little bit different. He grew up in Sands Point in Manhattan. I grew up in Queens. he played tennis and I played basketball. And we weren't the same. So first couple of years, we're figuring this out. We just had Smartwater. 2 years after, together, we came up with Vitamwater. And even Vitamwater was interesting. I wanted Vitamwater at 75 calories. He wanted it at 25. It ended up at 50. He wanted Revive. I wanted Fruit Punch. And ended up Revive Fruit Punch. He wanted this, you know, incredible looking, you know, package that really stood up. And I wanted to write Mike from Queens on the label. So the combination of compromising and building something together, you know, and working with someone that adds something different than you can, I learned at a very early age in business.
You talk about the dichotomy between you and Darius, right? But you ended up in the middle and those two different personalities, those two very different upbringings, yeah. Right? You guys became family. And like, you know, you can't pick your family, right? But there you are. We're every day in the trenches.
Marty, it's a great point because I'm telling you, the first 2 years, I was just about to get married. And I think I disliked Darius as much as he disliked me. And we were very competitive. We were both passionate. But we both saw something like, you know what? It's worth fighting for this if he's giving me 20% that I don't have in my head yet. And that we did that for 2 years. And really, it was, you know, like I always say, if Darius and I created a baby, it's Vitamin. You know, it ended up in the middle. And the ability.
Not a bad baby.
Yeah, no, it turned out to be a great baby, expensive baby, by the way. But the thought process was, you know, like I am passionate. I am competitive. I hate to lose. But the ability, you know, and Darius is the same way. And the ability to just, you know, I'm not leaving and you're not leaving. So neither one of us is going to budge. So we got no choice here. And nowadays I find like, you know, it's one fight or one disagreement or one bad day and you leave. And you know, it's adversity, it's grit, it's determination. And it wasn't easy. It was hard. It's hard now and it was hard then. It's going to be hard tomorrow and it was hard yesterday. And if you can learn how to work through hard, That's how you build greatness. That's how you build greatness.
That's right. That's unbelievable. And I think about the two of you. And did you challenge each other? Did you ever want to leave? Did he ever want to leave?
We wouldn't. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of leaving. And he wouldn't give me the satisfaction of throwing me out.
You're stuck with me.
Yeah, that's it. Either we're going to create this billion-dollar brand or we're going to die trying. And we might kill each other dying, but we were going to do it. And you know, it's funny. We created this culture from two people to 450 people. And when we had meetings in his office, there was no closed door meetings. The whole entire company heard me and him fight.
One room.
We wanted it that way. Because you know what? We never held grudges against each other. It was F you, what do you know? You don't know nothing. They didn't teach you that at Colgate, St. John's, sports management didn't have it. And we just did this. And you know what? We spoke every day. We never held a grudge. And then people saw, like, these guys love each other. And it actually created part of the culture where it's okay to have a disagreement. It's okay to check your ego at the door. It's okay to say, okay, we're going to do it your way. It's okay to evolve and change your thinking because you want to be great. And you want to be better.
Yeah.
Being the same never makes you great, never makes you better. Darius helped make me great. I helped make him great. And together we made Vitamorta great.
It's fascinating. We talk about that famous, and I think Kobe Bryant said it, pressure is a privilege. And you guys almost, you and Darius, gave each other that pressure, right? And you, that fight, that grit, that forced it out of you, right? And knowing Darius a little bit and his background and yours, I knew you had the grit. You know, I know he had the grit from different perspectives, right? But you made each other almost uncomfortable.
I always talk about the discomfort zone. Too many times in life, people want to be in a comfort zone. I'm comfortable. I'm in the marriage for 40 years. I'm at the job for 40 years. I do the same thing. I get my hair done the same way. I have the same shoes. They just get comfortable. And you're never, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. And I actually am the opposite. When I get comfortable, I get uncomfortable. I love the discomfort zone. I thrive on the discomfort zone. I want to be challenged. Maria, you know my wife, she says the only thing worse than me having a million things to do is me having nothing to do. It's better for me to have that million. So it'd be great if, you know, if we can teach people that once you get uneasy and once you get uncomfortable, once there's discomfort sets in, that means there's an opportunity to grow. That is a great feeling. And people either shy away from it or they give up on it. And making you uncomfortable is good. And it should almost be taught to put people in uncomfortable situations, you know, like presentation in front of 400 people. Wow, I never thought I could do that. So there are so many employees who have become incredible friends over the years. I challenge them. I push them. You know, no one's going to know how much bandwidth you have in anything you do in life until someone challenges you and pushes you. And there are so many times I say sink or swim. And every time I run into people, 99% of the people that I surround myself with can swim. But they didn't even know they can swim that far. They didn't even know they can swim with sharks. They can swim. And people don't know their ceiling. I'm 55 years old. I'm still trying to find my ceiling. You know? And I'm going to keep working to get to that ceiling.
And I bet you are hoping you'll never reach it because then you keep growing, right? You keep...
I've already made a decision, and I haven't told too many people, so this is the first time. I'm going to retire at 100 years old. I've talked to my wife. I got 45 more years.
Does she support that?
She's okay with it. She's okay with it. She wanted 110, you know, so she can shop more, but you know, she stopped shopping, Maria. But I'm going to retire at 100, and I've announced it. It's 45 more years, and I feel good that I have a date.
So you're middle-aged.
Yeah, I'm halfway there. I'm at a half marathon right now, you know, half marathon. So no, I don't want to. I mean, I'm never going to retire. I'm never going to slow down because if you love what you do, it's not work, it's life.
You know, you talk about this being uncomfortable and pushing yourself. And it's almost the concept of when we mentor young folks, just show up.
Yeah.
Just fucking show up, right? Yeah. No matter whether you had a great day yesterday or a bad day yesterday, it's time to go to work today.
When people ask me about, you know, give me something, the key to success, I say 18-hour days, 7 days a week. In what? 18-hour days, 7 days a week. You'll figure it out. Did I know that I was going to go from, you know, when I graduated college, I wanted to be the GM of the Mets or the head coach of St. John's? But no, that's what I thought. But it took me into beverage sales guy making $22,000 selling beverages on Woodhaven Boulevard and Atlantic Avenue. But then that led to Smart Water and Vitamin Water. That led to Body Armor. That led to Noble. Like, so there's a path.
Hey, James.
What are those?
Well, these are Apples. They have helped me and over 150,000 other people with chronic knee pain and low back pain.
My back's been killing me.
You know, I've been a sports physical therapist for over 30 years, and Apples works. It's non-invasive, drug-free, and effective. It treats the cause, not just the pain. Apples, precisely what you need. You talked about you were in the deli, eight glass doors, right? What do I drink? You know, there's so many decisions. But you were fascinated with the focus and the laser focus. People would go grab their Gatorade or grab their, you know, water or Coke, Pepsi, whatever. That concept, you observed the consumer. Tell me about that and now going to all your beverage industry.
I never did a focus group in my life. I don't believe in focus groups. Before I got into beverages, and even while I was at beverages, I would go to a 7-Eleven in Bayside and pack out all these flavors of Vitamin Water. And I would sit there. The guy that ran the 7-Eleven, his name was Pinto. He was my my best friend on Saturdays and Sundays. And I would just sit there for an hour and a half and watch people go to 7-Eleven, and I would watch them get to the Vitamin Water door. And I'm like, okay, okay, come on, come on, come on. They'd open up the door and they'd grab a Gatorade. I'm like, damn it, fuck.
He'd let you hang out there?
Oh, hold it. Oh, Pinto got more Vitamin Water, Small Water wearables. He got everything. I always took care. Free cases, whatever. But I just sat there, you know, and I would just watch. Then I had a place in Rhode Island, and I would go to the place called the Picnic Basket. And as I'm eating my sandwich, I would just, every bite I would take, I would just look. I would, every account, if I went to Public Supermarket or I went to, you know, Walmart or I went to Target, I would sit in the aisle and just watch who comes by and this. And once in a while, when they picked up a Vitamin Water or they picked up a Body Armor, I would say, excuse me, I'm thinking about trying that. Oh my God, my kids love it. Oh my God, it's better than Gatorade. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Okay. And then I put five in the cart and then I put them back and do it again.
Exactly.
But doing that on a regular basis,
yeah,
it was, for me, it was just, yeah, that's getting in the weeds, man.
There's your focus group.
Yeah, that was my, I did my own focus groups. That's all I needed to know.
That's almost your MBA.
You know, listen, it's PhD, I would say, poor, hungry, driven. So that's what a PhD is. Yeah.
And you did get a doctorate.
Yes. So, I mean, I was a little disappointed you didn't call me Dr. Michael Rapoli at the beginning.
That is my apology.
You know, I mean, you are Dr. Marty, aren't you?
By the way, on our show, Dr. Mike Rapoli.
Two doctors. I mean, this is two doctors just talking to each other.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
No, but
talking shop.
But you know what? I got a call from Father Harrington in 2010 or 11, and he asked me to do the commencement speech at St. John's. And I was so honored. Here I am, 1991, graduate with a 2.2 grade point average. You graduated around the same time with a 4.0, probably. Okay.
Not quite, but yes, very close.
Better than a 2.2?
Just a little.
Just a little.
Okay. Just a little.
So I graduate there.
We should have met. We would have had a great time.
And 2011, 20 years later, the kid that from Queens that got the 2.2 grade point average is giving a commencement speech. But then he said, can you do me one more favor? Can you, I'd like to give you a doctorate in commercial science, which, you know, is an honorary doctorate. So I was honored. If he asked me to pick one, I would have just done the commencement speech. So it was a beautiful ceremony and everything like that. And what was interesting was, I never use it. It's just, it's almost like fun that I can say a kid with a 2.2 grade point average can be a doctor. But you know, when I spoke to the kids, the message was, hey, for the graduates out there that have a 2.2 grade point average, work your ass off, man. It's an even playing field now when you graduate. Hey, 3.0. Keep doing what you're doing. Life is hard. Keep going. 4.0, hey, maybe academics came easy, but that next part doesn't guarantee you success, you know? And it was really just like kids come out of college and most of them are lost. They don't know what to do. Now more than ever, you know? I mean, it was, you know, kids have it tougher now than we actually did. You know, having better things and having more things is more a curse than a blessing. We had less and we did more. They have more and they do less.
And we did so much more with the little that we
had. That's it. You know, and you have, you know, boys and I have Joya, my daughter, and You know, and we want to.
And it's not their fault.
It's not their fault that they have
the things that they have.
And it's not our fault. That's the problem. It's no one's fault. But when you try to make it easier for them than you had it, that's the problem. Better is okay as long as it doesn't come with easier. You know, joy can have better. In certain ways, being my daughter, she has it tougher. She has it tougher because I do involve her at the St. John's games. I do involve her at my business meetings. I've put her up in a presentation when she's 4.5 years old in front of 400 people, and she grabs the mic. I do a horse racing interview on NBC, and she wants a question, and she wants to jump in. You know, so I like that.
You're putting her in an uncomfortable position.
Yes. In fact, she's getting a little too comfortable. It's bothering her. So now uncomfortable for her is to stay on the side. She can't do that. You know,
are you uncomfortable with people calling you the Michael Jordan of the beverage industry?
You know.
Because it's like a 40-year overnight success.
I like when the kids call me the GOAT. Okay. I like that. Okay. That I like. Okay. That I like.
I'll call you the goat of the beverage industry.
But I like that. But honestly, listen, I got dressed up because you told me I had to do this. So, I mean, I wore my best shorts. I wore my best St. John's Noble t-shirt.
Love it.
You know, I got dressed up for you, Mark.
I need one of those.
I don't usually dress up.
What do I have to call? Because I need one of those.
Okay. But I love talking to kids nowadays about, you know, there's no do-overs in life, I tell them. Like, this is your chance. And when you think back at your life, Marty, from 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. We knew from 0 to 21 what we're going to do. We got to go to grammar school. You got to go to high school. You got to go to college. Then all of a sudden you graduate. Between 20 and 30, you make decisions in your life that you look back and like, thank God I married Maria. Thank God I decided to move to Long Island. Thank God I took a chance with Vitamin Water. You make these decisions in your life that you look back and those are the foundations for the biggest decisions you make in your life. So I wish we spent more time with kids, you know, teaching them life skills, teaching them grit, teaching them adversity. Like I think we protect, and then we throw them out there, you know, with expectations that are not fair to them, to be honest with you. You know, when I graduated, my first job was 22,000. These kids, you know, 35 years later.
22,000 a week, is that what they're saying?
Yeah. But now, for what the cost of living is and what the tuition is, now it's 75,000, 80,000. And if they have to get the student loans, they might come out with a job, $60,000. It's not fair. It's not fair. Every college student should get out with a salary of 100,000, you know?
But then to get that and not have to grit, I mean,
that makes it tougher.
That makes it even tougher, right?
How do we teach that? Like, how do we, I want to get involved more at the St. John's Business School and other business schools, but I think some of their internships are more important. I think one of their internships should be working in a restaurant. Go work in a restaurant, okay? Get yelled at by the customer, go clean the dishes, go mop the floor, work with diverse people from different backgrounds, be the hostess, be the waiter, be the busboy, do whatever, go clean the bathroom. I already said Joy's gonna work at Chick-fil-A. That's her first job at 14 years old. Like, you know, that's it. She's getting a Jeep Cherokee. That's all she's gonna get. 15 years old. Like, that's it.
Oh, the old Jeep Cherokee.
The 15-year-old Jeep Cherokee. Her Jeep Cherokee will be 15 years old. So
I love
but
that.
That's what we have to do.
We do. I actually hint at my boys, Jack and Austin. Guys, you know, 14, you can get your working papers. You know, we'll get you a nice part-time job in the summer. You don't have to go to camp. What are you talking about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right? You have to learn how to work and it is really hard. I mean, let's talk about a little bit now. You said that choice, you know, you had to make a decision that could basically foster the rest of your life. What was that decision, maybe that first decision that, you know, you have that fork in the road? Thank God you chose that one.
Yeah, you know, I think about that a lot. I could have gotten to teaching at Christ the King High School. And once I was coaching the sports, and I said, you know what, I don't think I want to go this route. So just the decision that I didn't want to go that route, I don't think it mattered what I did afterwards. As a kid from Queens with immigrant parents, at 15 years old, I had two magazine subscriptions. One every kid had at 15 years old, Sports Illustrated, you know, and the second one was Money Magazine. At 15, 16 years old, because my—
Who subscribed to that out of curiosity?
Me, because I was intrigued. I would walk into the magazine stores like A&K on Metropolitan Avenue, and I would buy that magazine. And I mean, the headline got me money. And it was because, my mom motivated me, not purposely. I would ask for Nike sneakers, and I would get the store.
Did she laugh like mine?
No shot. I would ask for rubber wheels on my skates. I had metal wheels.
Cryptos. You had a kryptonite wheels.
I played in a hockey league, and every time I skated by on the 104 precinct, you could hear me, and every kid on the sidelines laughing.
Yeah, because you had the ball bearings.
Oh, they're making noise. and everyone's laughing. I remember I went to the Lobsters on Myrtle Avenue. Midway through the season, my mom, she grew up saying two things: turn the lights off and be careful. Those are the two things. I made sure I turned every light on, and I made sure I was never careful. It was reverse psychology. I took my father, because my father was a waiter, 6 days a week. He would be coming home at 1 a.m, and then he would sleep. I'd kiss him goodbye, and he'd be snoring. My mom said, go kiss your dad. I'd go to school, and then he would do the lunch shift and the dinner shift at a restaurant called Le Creuset in Manhattan, and then later on, he worked at the Marriott Lexington. So
Work ethic. That's it.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love working at night. I really think it's because I saw my father come home at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning my whole life. And those are the most productive time I have in the office sometimes, because no one's really bothering me 10 to 2 o'clock, and I get a lot done. And then, so I talked him into going to this Galopsis sporting goods store, and I got him to buy me $35 skates. The beating he got from my mom when I got home, that was his problem. I'm telling you, the first game, I felt like I was going 1,000 miles an hour, because I basically had my skates were tied together with the middle wheel. I had a hat trick in the second period. I'll always remember scoring a hat trick. And for everyone who laughed on the sidelines as I came by, I was a little young to say, go F yourself. But man, I was thinking. But having those metal skates for half the season and getting laughed at, and then getting to be able to get the skates, like, okay, you know what? Now I don't get the handicap. Now what do you call it? That's what built grit. That's what built scrappiness. That's what built determination. It didn't, but nowadays people are like, oh, I'm too embarrassed to play, or I don't want to do it, or people are making fun of me. You know what? Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Grit can make up for so much. You want an equal playing field? Show up. Have the grit. Fight.
I don't even think it's a word people talk about anymore. It's like grit. Like, grit is the most important thing. And being able to give kids coping skills on grit is so important. Teach grit.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
You and I, when we first met, we couldn't believe we had never met, right? We went to college together, so many mutual friends. You were told to meet me by a number of your friends and colleagues. And we had booked, 15-minute call. You wanted to get to know me and vice versa, talk a little bit about Maria. And 3 hours later, right, we went to St. John's, both sports management major. I also was a biology major. Both our parents were seamstresses, right? Both worked our tails off. Right? And the list goes on and on. And you asked me these questions, getting to know you questions. You said to me, and it fucked me up, Mike. You said, what drove you? You asked me that, yeah. Right? And I said, well, Mike, coming from Queens, fear drove me. The fear of failure, the fear of not being able to get out of the neighborhood, right? Not being able to aspire. And then you hit me with a sledgehammer and you said, that's not fear, that's courage. And fucked me up, man, because I've answered that question the same way my entire life. So I'm almost embarrassed to say that I was courageous.
Yeah, I talk about fear. Like, when people ask you, my definition of fearless is different than others. Fearless in the regular dictionary definition is not afraid of anything. Fearless, not afraid of anything. My definition of fearless is I do have fear. When fear stops you from doing what you want to do and you say, I should have done this, I would have done that, that's fear. When you have that feeling, but you do it, that's courage. Like, if fear doesn't stop you from doing what you really want to do, now, if you have that fear, that discomfort in you, and then you decide not to do it, most times, if you've got great instincts, you say, thank God I didn't do that. That's not fear.
Well, let's talk about dear friends of yours that inspired you in business. Let's talk about Body Armor After. I mean, you talk about the odds of you winning with vitamin water. I'm going to 0.2-0.5%, if that, right? Because of, you know, changing the game and adding a new category, right? Yeah. Boom, check, success. Chance of doing that twice? Well, that's the goal. And you did it twice with Body Armor, with your friend Kobe Bryant and that army, the team, the family that you always have beside you. Let's talk about Kobe and that.
You know, I met Kobe after we sold Vitamin Water. We had Coca-Cola money. So I ran the company for another 18 months. So we signed LeBron James. We signed Kobe Bryant. We couldn't give equity deals like I did at Vitamin Water. So I got to meet Kobe, and he was interested in the business questions. I was interested in the basketball questions. But he,
just in case St. John's called?
Right, yeah, exactly. but he was still, you know, he still wanted to win a couple championships. He still wanted to win MVPs. So it wasn't until he tore his Achilles. If it wasn't for Kobe's tore Achilles, he would have never picked up the phone and talked to me as much as he did. He started to reach out to entrepreneurs. And, you know, listen, the way I'm talking to you is the way I talk to Kobe. You know, like I saw Kobe no different than I see Marty. I see Marty no different than I see my brother or my childhood friends. Like, I'm very comfortable. And I think, and I found out through some other friends that I have, is they get spoken to guarded. I hope I said the right thing. Well, there is no right thing. When someone asks you a question, that your answer isn't the right thing. If you're looking for your answer to be the right thing for them, then you're scripted. I'm not scripted. You know, so I was real as possible. And then, you know, we had this beautiful journey where we built this brand together. And, you know, listen, he wanted to build a family office. He could finally see after that injury, the back nine is here and I might be on hole 17, not hole 10. And we built this great friendship. And, you know, one of the things he said to me that was very meaningful, like, because we jabbed, we did this.
Even before your partners?
You know what? I did it sarcastically when we weren't partners.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kobe, come on. They didn't, I know you only have a high school degree. Like, that would be a shot. He'd say, Mike, you're not an athlete. What do you do? I mean, see, nobody runs marathons. You're not an athlete. So we would jab each other.
Yeah.
But then we would bang heads. It goes back to like the Darius Bykoff relationship. But now it's Kobe Bryant. And it's because it's the same.
It's the same.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
And he said to me, because there's only two people that talk to me like this. You and Vanessa. I said, fucking good. Who cares? I said, good. I don't know what you, what do you mean by that? Like, I'm not supposed to. He didn't really have a reply. Like, yeah, good. Okay. What else you want me to tell you? And, you know, no matter what, like there was a very respectful love relationship, 2 a.m. calls, 4 a.m. texts.
He also didn't sleep.
You know,
He slept to charge his phone.
He was the one story I can give you quickly about Kobe was I text him at 7 o'clock, which is 4 o'clock his time.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. my time, 4 a.m. his time. He says, whenever you get a chance, I need to talk to you today. He responds right away. You see the book. He responds right away. I'll call you in 30 minutes. Call me in 30 minutes. Calls me, and he's got the Bluetooth going. And I'm like, you can tell he's in a car. And you could tell him, I said, where the fuck are you going at 4:30 in the morning? Where do you think he was coming? Going to 4:30 in the morning?
Going to the gym, absolutely.
Going to the gym, absolutely. That is a shocking answer. You know what? Coming back from the fucking gym. He was finishing his workout. Coming back from the gym.
I stand corrected.
It's unbelievable. Whenever he got into a discomfort zone, he went to go shoot. whenever he got to this comfort zone, he needed to be creative. He was a brilliant, brilliant mind. And obviously, you know, I mean, I'd be very friendly with Vanessa and the girls. And, you know, in you talk about adversity, poor Vanessa loses her husband and her 13-year-old daughter. And she has three kids at home. And, you know, listen, at the end of the day, I mean, I always thought God put Kobe in my life so me and him can do this till we were 95 years old together in a nursing home. And, you know, maybe it was to help, you know, him to help me with body armor and me. He gave me $6 million. And if he lost his $6 million, I would have given back $7 and said, hey, we did okay. And him and the family wound up making $450 million. And, you know, now Vanessa's, Kobe's great, 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 great grandchildren.
He never saw that success. Not a fear,
you have to worry about that. You know, he didn't see it, but Body Armor, in 2018, we sold 15% of the company for $2 billion. So I got $300 million that I gave back to the investors and shareholders. Kobe's $6 million in 2018, I got to give him back $28 million. And he knew his shares were still worth $200 million. And that was one of the greatest nights of my life, sharing that with him. And him saying, fuck yes, I'm like, whoa, this is better than a championship. I mean, yeah, how is this better than a championship? I was born to win championships. I was born, this is what people expected from me. I only did what people thought I could do. My dad, Italy, Lower Marion, being drafted at 17. No one would expect this. And that it was, this was more important to him. And then later on, he won an Oscar.
It was his decision and no one else's.
Even better. He asked 50 people whether he should do this. And he said, no, 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 no. And he said, you know what? I bet on me and I bet on you. We're doing this. And that's all.
And that 1% chance is probably the best odds he ever got.
Best odds he ever got. And you know what? It's I always say it's 1%, which is true. But if you get to the point where you're willing to do something that nobody else is willing to do, the odds are higher than 1%. In my opinion, it's 1% because it's 99% chance you won't even try it. So by not even trying it, you're at zero. So if you try it, you can't win it if you're not in it, right? You know, and I get I'm saddened when
I miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You know,
yeah.
I have failed more than I've succeeded on.
Michael Jordan.
I embrace failure.
Michael Jordan.
Exactly. At the end of the day, do you want to be 0 for 0 in your life or you want to be 10 for 100? I want to get those 10 wins. If it costs 90 losses, I want those 10 wins. And so many people go through life 0 for 0. It's attitude over skills. It's attitude over skills. And it's why, like, you know, we see what Rick Pitino has done with St. John's basketball and the team. But Rick is a leader and a champion and a coach. But he brings different, it doesn't matter what the jersey says. Team is team. So if it's Louisville, if it's Kentucky, if it's St. John's.
You play for the front,
and
not
for me,
the back.
If it's Vitamortar, if it's Body Armor, if it's No Bull, just hire people who are type A personalities that are competitive, that want to be great, that want to be better tomorrow more than today, and just want to be great every day. It's going to work. It's easier to teach skills than it is to teach attitude. Bad attitude, not only do you hurt yourself, you hurt the team. You know, so for me, you've got to get people who buy in. You know, and I've been so blessed because I'm a tough love guy. Like, I'm a tough love guy. I push and challenge people because I want them to get what they want in life. And it's hard sometimes being tough on someone you love, no matter if it's a friend or it's someone. Like,
well, that's actually love when you're honest.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
It. You know, being honest, like when someone wants to do something in life that you know is a big mistake, and you know it's not going to work out, and you keep it to yourself, and they fall flat on their face, you did them the biggest injustice possible. You just did. But it's easy to just say, sure, why not? Or look the other way. You know, so it's important.
Hello, everyone. Exclusively for Game Recognizes Game listeners, our sponsor, I'm so proud to be in partnership with Noble, giving our listeners a 30% discount code for all their products that'll help you achieve all your goals. Please go to NobleProject.com/game to receive your 30% discount. That's www.NobleProject.com/game.
Noble, such an amazing company. And how'd you get involved?
You know, 3 years before I decided to, I took a majority stake in the company. I reached out. I saw this trademark called Noble. And really, they were just a brand in CrossFit, small little brand in CrossFit. And I just love this Noble mentality. You know, no bullshit, Noble mentality. I mean, you know, my whole business and personal and professional philosophy is built on cut the bullshit out of your life. Noble. Noble stands for, to me, making people better, or becoming better yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally. So I call, they're not interested. I call it 18 months later, they're not interested.
Interested in what?
In doing something. And then honestly, I saw...
And by the way, Kobe Bryant begged.
Honestly, I read the CNBC report that says Noble lays off 75 employees. I said, I bet you this time when I call, they're going to say, you need me. So I came in and I met the two founders who just were over their skis. Great guys. Company grew. But when you build a brand or a company, in the first 5 years, I call those survival years. Every day, you're this close to going bankrupt. What people don't know is that the next 5 years are called the growth years. Every day, you're this close to going bankrupt. When you make a mistake in survival, if it doesn't bankrupt you, it's a learning lesson. When you make a mistake and you're a bigger brand, it can knock you out. It could kill the brand, you know? So there's this way, 5 year survival, 5 years growth. And they just got too big. So, you know.
Managing growth, right?
Managing growth, managing people, COVID hits. So I took a majority stake of the company and we now call it internally Noble 2.0. I'm really taking the trademark. Their little CrossFit is now opening up, but the whole goal being 55 years old, Marty, and I know you mentor and coach, and I want to give back. You know, I want to give back. And, you know, to have a platform and a brand, Noble, you know, whether it's sneakers, whether it's apparel, whether it's mentality, whether it's nutrition, I want to give a message back on how to teach grit, that noble mentality, that noble lifestyle, that no bullshit attitude. If I can get that across to this brand, you know, I said there's 8 billion people in the world. I sold body armor for 8 billion. I want to impact 8 billion lives now. I want this to be a big global brand, you know, with Tom Brady, and about helping people, give them the tools to make them better, whether it's a podcast where they can get better, whether it's a nutrition to get better, whether it's a workout program. You know, you say just showing
just
up.
Just a conversation.
100%. You know, how many times do you say, hey, how you doing? And someone, you're like, great. How do we know they're not sitting in their room, covers over their head, in tears? Great, had a great day today. You don't know. But you know what? We used to knock on someone's door and ring their bell. We used to pick up the phone. You can't lie about being great on the phone. You can't lie about being great
knock
in person.
Knock on their door, ring the bell.
It's easy to hide today. Put a picture of the sun on Instagram and make it seem like you're having the best day of your life.
And you're actually in front of the sun.
Yes. You know, and that's it. So I want Noble to be that brand.
You talked about physical health, physical strength, emotional strength, and mental strength. Now, if you think about that, the potential of that brand, right? It covers so many genres, product lines and potential, you know, media and you name it. There's so many. I mean, you took this Noble brand, no pun intended, and you took the ethos.
Yes.
And you made it big. Yeah. You made it really big. So excited. Now, Tom Brady and his ethos and his I know you called him one time, Clark Kent during the day and Superman in that 2 minute drill.
Yeah. I mean, Tom is, I mean, we're great. I mean, I've lost 35 pounds because of Tom. He taught me about inflammation. He taught me about, you know, protein. He taught me about, you know, you say just show up. When Tom had TB12, you know, 5 years ago, and I would talk to him about TB12. There was body work 3 times a week. You know, it was eat this meal, eat that meal. I'm like, Tom, not everybody can afford a $300 massage 3 times a week, and they can't make avocado ice cream. So it works for you. How do we dumb this down? How do we simplify this? So when, you know, when I took over Noble, I merged with Tom on TB12 and the Brady brand, and we made it one big brand, and that's the Noble 2.0. So, you know, Tom basically, you know, we have the founders that created Noble, and then me and Tom are founders of Noble 2.0. And now starting to think about, you know, and we're not looking for someone to be the next Kobe Bryant or the next Rick Pitino or the next Tom Brady or the next Michael Pulley. All we're looking to do is get you better and help you be better. Become a life coach brand that just gives you the tools and some of the methods and techniques that make you better. You want to walk 45 minutes a day, 3 times a day? It's going to help you mentally. It's going to help you physically. It's going to help you emotionally. Those three are tied in. You're screwed up mentally, your physical and emotional off. You get it right emotional and mentally and physically, and all go hand in hand. And there's ways that you can do things. Just a walk. I took Joy to school today. I took my daughter to school today. Just took her to school. She was late because of me. That's another story.
Emotional health.
It's great.
Mental
health.
It's
great. And got a kiss. It was just taking her to school. Put her, like, it's just a simple thing that made my day already. And that was at 8 o'clock.
And you and now Tom Brady have put Noble on the map.
Yeah.
All right, switch over to St. John's. First of all, as an alumnus like you, we graduated around the same time. I'm going to tell you, last week when we won the Big East Championship and the confetti going to Madison Square Garden, I know you couldn't be there. There was a tear coming down my head because the nostalgia of that. And I said, thank you, Mike. That's what I said. It was, and we talked about this and what it does for you. It's not just helping St. John's. You were trying to help a city. We talked about this. St. John's is selling out. It's Madison Square Garden with red shirts, not giving half of it to UConn. And you did that. And I can't thank you enough as an alumnus, but I know it means something dear to your heart.
That means so much to me. And I've been overwhelmed by, you know, an 80-year-old man that says, thank you, Mr. Rapoli, 80 years old.
That wasn't me, right? I'm not 80 years old. No. Just in case I look.
Or a 25-year-old or a student that says, thank you, Mr. Rapoli. I saw this vision for St. John's, you know, as soon as I was building Vitamin Water, that St. John's was this brand that wasn't winning. And it was this great brand that, you know, at 15 years old in 1985, sitting in the blue seats, watching them play, watching Georgetown versus St. John's versus Syracuse versus Providence, you know, Coach Pitino, Luke Konacek, John Thompson, you know, Chris Mullen, Walter Berry.
Great.
Unbelievable. And just watching that, taking the train at the Penn Station with my friends, it was an amazing time. And I watched how the city embraced this team.
I saved so much money to get the starter jacket.
Yeah. So the St. John's blue, the red jacket with the blue lettering, you know, like that. And it was such a special time. And to see now Rick and that incredible team bring it back. And I, you know, when you say I can't make it, let's not feel bad for me. I was in the Bahamas. I'm blessed. I was in the Bahamas with Maria and Joya. And I watched the game. I turned to my right, was the ocean. And I'm watching the game. And I can tell you right now, where you had the tear in your eye, I was so at peace. I was so happy I was in there. I just wanted to be a small little piece about helping the school. And I really thought, and I said this, the first couple of months, I was so happy because this is a beautiful St. John's story. Then when the Garden started to sell out and the tickets were going up like $600 a ticket.
Finally had a category for St. John's.
It became a New York story. And now we're sitting here a couple of days before the Big East and it's a national story. You see, Rick Pitino talking about St. John's on Jimmy Fallon. The plays singing a St. John's song. New York Times to the New York Post to the Forbes magazines, articles about St. John's.
I wear my gear here in Florida.
Yeah.
Hey, great season.
Yeah. And the last 20 years, you wore your gear to people, where is that school? You know.
Is your high school jacket?
Yeah. St. John's, of what? You know, yeah. Like, so the beauty that the way it's inspired New York, you know, you know, I'm Mike from Queens, but I live in Florida now. I've been living here for 5 years. It kind of
has been MJ with, from Queens, and I live in Westport, Connecticut. Yeah.
But it's given me a relationship not only back with the school, but with New York City. And when New York City has that feeling, like there's no other city like that. There's no other city like that. So, I mean, honestly, I just feel so privileged and honored that I can be a part of this. And you know what? I don't want this to be a one-year thing. I want this to be an every-year thing. And I think we're starting to build a big brand together.
Okay. So, Mike, we get to do one of my favorite segments. It's called Moving the Chains, and it's brought to us by Noble. I came up with the idea of moving the chains because the Noble philosophy inspired me, physical, mental, emotional. And that first down, when those chains are moved, either stopping the clock chains, that's a small win. It's not a big win. It's a small win. And you have enough small wins, right? You're having a good day. You're having a great game. And we talked about that as a small win. Give me a non-negotiable, something you do every day to move those chains, to just move everything forward.
It's wake up every day with the same attitude I have for the last 30 years. 18-hour days, 7 days a week, loving what I do, fired up, passionate. But it's like, if I don't feel like working today or I don't, no, there is none. You know what? When the days that you don't feel like putting in those 18 hours are usually the best days and the most productive days and the days that make you feel the best. When you know it's going to be a great day, that's awesome. When you know it's going to be a tough day, that's even better. But people can't get to the better. You just have to go out there and fight every single day. And it's like, if you're working out, you know what? I work out 6 days a week. I just started and I'm going to do it for three. And 3 months later, they go back to where they are. Or they lose 50 pounds and then you see them later and they gain the 75. It doesn't stop. It's every day. You know, life is a marathon, not a sprint. And it's long-term over short-term every single day. I have a term I use always. You know I'm very aggressive, but I've coined the phrase patiently aggressive. Know when to pounce, but patiently aggressive. I would say body armor
look
and Noble.
For the opening.
Body armor and Noble will be a 20-year overnight success. It takes time to build.
It's unbelievable because you talked about that, the patience, that grit. And you are the 40-year overnight success.
Yeah, 40-year. Right?
It's amazing. 2 minutes on the clock, everybody. This is where quick, rapid fire. Questions are going to make you think, but you've been thinking a long time. You know, these kind of thoughts, these deep thoughts are so important to you, and what a privilege and honor to do this with you. And it's a trip down memory lane, the Queens kid to you, man. That's fantastic. Mike, if you had the privilege of sitting with 18-year-old Mike, what do you tell him?
Work your ass off every day. Work your ass off every day. And maybe be grateful more. You know, at 30s and 40s, at the end of my 40s, I got the gratefulness. I wake up every day and I thank God. Thank God every day.
Yeah. It's funny. That gratitude is almost a foundation of the physical, emotional, and the mental strength.
Every time you think you have it tough, there are people that have it much tougher.
Family first, show up, dream big. When you get comfortable being uncomfortable. When you have a great day, right?
Yeah.
Now it's time to turn that page and try to have more great days and just keep working. Mike, it's an honor to hang out with you today. We had some fun, yeah. Right?
Marty's been great and it's awesome. You know, not knowing you, even though we went to the same school, the relationship we have now and it quickly went from professional to personal, and I really appreciate and I look up to what you do, and I love that you want to pay it forward just like I want to pay it forward. And you know, we're at the age we not only want to pay it forward to our kids,
yeah.
We want to pay it forward to other kids that maybe are 18, 19 years old wondering what they're going to do.
You know, St. John's gave me a lot of opportunities, and my life has been blessed because of the chances they gave me. You talked about the chances that you might give a young kid.
Yeah.
And I have been spending the last 20 years of my life giving back to St. John, volunteering my time with the sports medicine department, because I wouldn't have a thing if they didn't give me that one chance. So we talked about that, and just show up, man.
Influencing and impacting lives going forward.
Let's go.
Appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.